This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Welcome back. A comment that's just come up that's quite interesting that I thought, and this is something, you talk about wingers. I think you're right, Joe, 100%. Adam Meyer down the left-hand side could get a real look in. I think Harris will be looking for balance and width from both sides. This, which is what we've kind of been saying for a while, Brook Norton Cuffey right mid, Danny Mac right back. I think that 100%. Is an absolute certainty down the right hand side. If you're playing 4-4-2, that's the combination that I would go with. And I think I don't do comparing players or anything like that, but I think Neil Harris has always, as you say, in teams he's played with or managed, you know, he brought Jed Wallace to the club. He wants wingers. He wants people taking players on. Adam Meyer will do it on the left. Brook Norton Cuffey will certainly do it on the right. So yeah. I think with wingers.
Then where does that leave Idemar? Because I think at the moment it's quite hard to justify not really having him in the team.
He'll probably come off the bench, to be fair.
He isn't warranting a start?
I don't think he'll start immediately. Cause let's be honest, Neil Harris wouldn't know who the fuck Idemo is, really, would he? So I think he'll probably start off on the bench. He'll go with the more experienced start off with, as you said, possibly Bradshaw and Fleming up front. But all it takes is a couple of substitute appearances. Yeah, he can see what he's going to do, how he lifts the crowd, take players on, creates chances, and then he'll probably get a chance in the first team. But I think initially, players like SA and Maku will probably sit on the bench, start off with, and they have to earn their right to play under Neil Harris.
Yeah, it's going to be with what he's going to go with what he knows first, isn't he?
Yeah,
absolutely. That's the main thing.
And one thing's for certain, I can guarantee you, the first player that he will put on that starting sheet is Danny McNamara. I guarantee you that, because he wants someone out there who's Mr. Millwall. He wants someone who's going to put tackles in, be determined. You know, there's no way he'll play Norton Cuffey right back. Or anyone else for that matter, unless, you know, Danny's injured, he'll probably play Leonard there. But Danny McNamara is the sort of person I think he would go for. He wants someone in there to show the others what they're expecting, what he'll want from them as a player.
So on the back of that, then, where do we go on the pairing at centre-half? Because outside of Cooper and with Hutchison being injured, there isn't a centre-half at the club that Harris knows. Now, I know Tanganga's got this pedigree coming from the Premier League. Harding come in, had a slight resurgence and played well to start with. But so on that decision, who do you play alongside Cooper, assuming Cooper is obviously the one to start for Harris's I know you kind of formation?
Yeah. I mean, personally, sorry to interrupt there, guys. If I was to answer that question, personally, I wouldn't play Cooper. As great as Cooper's been for us, he's been a great servant. I think football's evolved now. The Championship is a difficult league. There's lots of fast, athletic strikers you're playing against, and we've seen so many times him getting caught out, which is quite remarkable, because you look at all the goals we conceded, the last 13 goals, we did a piece on it online. Cooper is not really to blame for many of those. Most of the problems come from Joe Bryan or Wes Harding or one or two other players, but Cooper hasn't really put a foot wrong. But what he does, he creates the problems.
Yeah.
By him stepping out up the pitch or letting a player go past him, he creates problems. So I would go with Ryan Leonard and Tanganga as a centre-half partnering. To your question, Jay, I think Neil will go with Cooper because he'll go with someone who he's tried and tested. Yeah. Hutch not being available, who's going to be the partner? He'll probably go with Tanganga. Although everything is telling him to go with someone like Ryan Leonard, who's, again, a bit of a Mr. Millwall sort of player, I can't help but feel you can't deny that Tanganga is from a better pedigree. He's a Premiership player. You know, however you want to paint it up, he comes from a Premiership pedigree. And I think he'll use him as he's at his disposal.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't think he would do this, but this is what I think I'd do, to be honest. I would take Cooper out of the team. He's not playing very well. We're coming on to the captain talk in a minute, but he's not a captain. I think that's blatantly obvious. Mm. I would put Tanganga at left back, to be honest, because we're just getting rinsed down that side week in, week out, playing Murray Wallace and Joe Bryan. I would see what Tanganga could do down there. He's got the pace, he's got the physicality.
True.
I think I'd probably go with him there. I'd then probably move Murray Wallace back into the centre half position because I think he looks a little bit more comfortable there.
I was going to say that he did that under Harris quite a lot as well, and he was a real good performer under Harris. I know he's got some more tread on the tyres, but that would be the logical thing that I would do for Harris's peace of mind of what he knows he can get out of these players. Playing them both together as centre half, they've done it a lot before under Harris. I think that could be the way he goes.
Yeah, I think Cooper on the bench. I think it's got to be Leonard and Murray. I'd pick Leonard and Murray Wallace personally, with Tanganga at left back, Danny Mac right back, because the back four this weekend, personally.
I'll be honest with you. I actually thought on Saturday, and I know Sheffield Wednesday stepped off us a little bit and the game just kind of petered out, but I thought Danny McNamara shifting over to left back was an interesting proposition. Look, we all know he's a right back, and I'm not a fan of having a right-footed left back. But if you wanted to, if you wasn't sure on Murray Wallace because of his pace, you don't have Joe Bryan, who I don't really think Joe Bryan is a Neil Harris type player. I don't see there was a comment about Bryan saying would he run through will Joe Bryan get off his Starbucks for Sir Harris run through walls? I don't think he would, and I just don't see that personally. So the option you've got is Danny McNamara shifting over or putting a centre half out there. Tanganga possibly, but I wouldn't be adverse to it because I think you could see the likes of maybe Leonard or even Tanganga being more comfortable if he's not playing at centre half, playing on the right hand side rather than putting him out on the left. I think you're right, Joe, when you say that he'll go with tried and tested, and I think Jake Cooper will play at the back on Saturday. I don't agree with it, and I don't particularly want that to be the case. There was a comment that was put up earlier about Jake Cooper walking down the tunnel at full time like he did on Saturday. That's not what you do at this football club.
And not
it's
as
certainly
a captain,
not what
no.
you do. Yeah, it's certainly not what you do as a captain of this football club, which leads us on very nicely to the captaincy. There's not really a lot of contenders.
There isn't, is there? It's slightly concerning, especially when Harris said in his speech about leadership as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's what I have a little bit of a concern with, because until Hutchinson's back, I think Hutchinson will take the armband whenever he's back, but he's not. We know he's not going to be back for a couple of weeks. Does he leave it with Cooper? Does he give it to someone else? For me, someone who's going to play every single week, in my opinion, in this team in the middle, someone who's got a little bit of bite and a little bit of fight in the middle, would be George Honeyman. He would be my captain, and I think he's the sort of player that Neil Harris would absolutely love in his team, someone who doesn't give up, that never-say-die attitude. Any thoughts on that or other names into the hat?
Wasn't George Honeyman captain at Hull? I'm not saying for the whole, and Sunderland as well. And he's quite young at Sunderland, to be fair, and he's given that captaincy, which is a big ask of a young player. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think Honeyman would be someone who would play for the armband and lead by example. I quite like the idea of Zian Fleming being captain. Only reason being is he's arguably one of our best players. The last three or four games, you can see he's got a bit of an appetite. There's a bit of bite about, a bit of fire in his belly. He's trying to help us. And in recent games, he's probably been the only player that looks like he's even trying, you know, which is great. And I can't help but feel someone like Zian Fleming, who might have a bit of an ego, let's be honest. Yeah, he probably knows he's a good player. He's quite a confident player. Having that armband will probably give another 5-10% out of him as well, which is quite, you know, exciting to see what more can Zian Fleming do. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Zian Fleming get the armband as well. But I think you're right. Cooper will probably get it, or Hutchinson by default, if they're fit and available. That's basically how it would be.
Jay, any other names to throw into the hat?
Some few people have mentioned George Saville, and I'm pretty on board with George Saville. I don't think he will start under Neil Harris, which is probably why he won't be. But Saville does show that fight on the field sometimes. You know, he's, when he took that player out at Norwich, you know, when he was going for a goal, he's always in the referee's ear. He's always niggling at other players. Saville has got that about him. I just don't think he's going to start. Joe's exactly right with what he said, and I agree 100%. Zian Fleming, before the Sheffield Wednesday game, put out a picture of himself with his arm around his teammates, his shirt on show, saying, look, this is a massive game. We need to get up for this. We need everyone together. Bit of a captain's mentality. He throws himself about. He gets stuck in. He's very physical. He's our best player. He's underwhelmed from last year. Still leads the team in assists, goals, chances created, and so on. I think with what Joe said, he's absolutely right. He will get an extra 5-10% out of him. I think he will relish it. I think he will take it with open arms. And I think he will be the best candidate out there because he's going to probably start every game. I don't think Neil Harris is going to drop someone like that purely because he hasn't had a player like that. This is a whole new set of toys for Neil Harris. Casper Denore's and Zian Fleming's. You don't just sit him to the side to play your mates, you know. I like the honeymoon debate. I really do. I think he gets stuck in more than anyone. He has an engine. He has a bit of a better Ben Thompson vibe about him. I thought Harris loved that about Ben Thompson, that he had that real short man energy, that he was all around the pitch and he'd give 110%. I think honeymoon would be the one that starts with Casper Denore. And I'll toss it up between, if I was to put names on it, three names in the hat would be Zian, Honeyman and Sav, to be fair.
What about Leonard, Jay? How do you feel about Ryan Leonard being captain?
I just don't think Leonard can... I love Leonard for what he does for us. I think he's first name on the team sheet if he's fit. I think he's fantastic. Don't really see him talking too much. I think people may think of Leonard as a longevity thing. He's been here for a while. And there's that bit of love for Leonard. You know, I think they're thinking more with their heart rather than being realistic as, is he a leader? Is he a captain? There's also the question up as if Harris does play four at the back, where does Leonard fit into that? Does he be the first name in midfield next to Casper Denore? Or do we play him at a right back or a centre half? So there's the questions up in the air, I think, with Leonard starting place. So for that reason, I don't think he would be above the players that we've already mentioned.
And also, I think, you know, to your point there, you know, to pick a captain, you've got to be, apart from being a very influential player, of course, and a starter, you have to be a presence on the field. And I agree with you. I think someone like Zian Fleming is that presence.
Yeah.
You know, I can see other teams looking at him thinking, wow, this guy is their best player. You know, when it comes to kickoff, he's the one there going for the toss, intimidating the opposition, them thinking, Jesus, like, look, I've got in front of me here, you know, and kind of driving the team. So, but it's a big decision Neil's got to make here. Does he take the captaincy and the vice captaincy of Hutch and Cooper this early? I can't see it happening because he'll want to get players on board at the moment. The last thing he wants to do is upset players. And, these players, as we probably all know, they can be quite childish. You know, they're like a big bunch of kids sometimes, half of them, you know. And taking an armband of someone will probably disrupt not just that player, but probably upset a few of their teammates as well, you know?
Well, didn't Harris make Hutchinson captain in the first place?
I think he did.
You're right. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
You know, and if he's only a few weeks away, I wouldn't give it to anyone else anyway. If the Hutchinson's back in the fold, Hutchinson's the captain. Because 100%. We raised this on Saturday that Cooper, for all of the mistakes he's made, you know, and people are up in the air about Cooper. When he plays with Sean Hutchinson, he is a completely different centre-half and we are a completely different defence. We're so much better because of Hutchinson. He was even the same when Cooper played with Creswell. When he's got someone physical, someone who talks right next to him, who can keep him in check, Cooper's fantastic.
You're right.
If if Hutchinson comes back into fold, if I don't really, does anybody know how far his setback is? Now, is he scheduled to come back in the next couple of weeks?
They said it a few weeks, and that was about almost a week ago, wasn't it? I think he's a few weeks away. So I'm guessing he's like anything from two to three weeks. I've just seen that comment there from Le Bleu. Bonjour. I'm pretty sure it was you that I saw. Just remind me if it was by the blue bus on when was it? On Sunday. Saturday.
Saturday.
God, Saturday. Good to meet you. If it was you, I think you said it was you. I think I made a comment to you saying you're the guy that gives me abuse online all the time. So if it is you, yeah, let me know. But that's good. I think, you know,
I guess it was Joe. There you go.
It was. Okay, mate. Yeah. Okay. Good to meet you, mate. I just don't think that the captaincy at the moment is going to change at all. And I agree with what the guy is saying there. And Jay, if Hutch is available, yeah, and plays, he's captain. It's a bit of a no-brainer. But I think at the moment, what we need is everyone out there to be a captain, don't we? We all want everybody to perform with or without that captaincy armband on. It's a little bit irrelevant who's got it. We just need someone out there, a team of leaders that are going to play for each other, fight for each other. And as Harris said earlier in his video, fight for the badge. And I love that. I never heard Rowett or Joe Edwards in the last 4 or 5 years mention that sentence, fight for the badge or fight for the shirt. You never heard that mentioned before, have you?
100%. 100%. Just before we carry on, and yes, I know I'm going to bore people to death with this quickly. One of our kind listeners, John Reynolds, he's a friend of mine, is season ticket holder. A lot of you would probably know him. On the back of my charity gaming stuff, wanted to help out some raise some more funds, and he donated to me Byron Webster's signed shirt from Tony Craig's testimonial. I'm putting it up for a raffle. The link is going into the chat now. If you want to enter, pop that into your web browser. It's £5 a ticket. All the money goes to mine charity. I've got all the authenticity certificate and stuff like that. So if you're into memorabilia.
Just to clarify, it's not a Bromley shirt, is it?
No, it's... One second.
Can you show us, Stephen?
Yeah. I've got it. And yes, I've stood up. And no, I'm not in shorts, guys. I know that's coming. That's all you guys ever seem to go on about. But to prove, it's match worn as well. So
look at that.
As you can see.
Yellow. Beautiful yellow.
Nice.
Tony Craig's testimonial. And as you can see, signed on the back
Speaking of tried and tested in Tony Craig, is he dusting his boots off? We're getting a contract ready for
Well, that's it. That leads me... That actually, Dan, leads me on very, very nicely. Do we think there was a lot of talk about other players? Aidan O'Brien commented and all sorts of rumours have been going around about Lee Gregory or anything like that. Do we expect Harris to bring in anybody else, potentially any old mates? Or do you think now, obviously, we're not going to be in
Morrison.
Do you think so?
No,
I can't see it happening, to be honest with you. But if he could, he would.
I would have said Alan Dunn as well.
Alan's the coaching staff. Yeah, no way. Morrison won't give up being a number one.
No, but yeah, we don't know how that's going to work out. Whether he's going to stay much longer or not. If he does, then fair play to him. But if he's available, you know, we know how Morrison respects Neil Harris. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised seeing part of our coaching setup, even if it's just for 6 months or a season, until he finds a management job somewhere else.
Nah, you're right, Connor. I'll be honest with you. I don't think there'll be any older faces coming back. I think that, you know, it's the nostalgia. We get all of that kind of stuff. But I personally think Neil Harris has come in. Yeah, he's an older move, and we've gone back to you know, Dave Livermore as well. But if Neil Harris is talking about how much experience he's gained and how much he's learned about football and management and this, that and the other, you can only go on what he says. I'm not so sure about those comments. I feel like he didn't really need to say them, considering that he has dropped down divisions, but he says he's a different coach now, so we have to take that on face value. If you're a different person than what you were, you don't go back to what you were. you move on with what you've got and you stick with, you go with the players that you've got and you go in a different direction. I know that might be contradictory because as a football club, we've just appointed a manager that was our manager 5 years ago. But in terms of if Harris wants to move forward and wants to be taken seriously, I don't think he can be afforded to bring him back anybody like that. He needs to be moving forward and working with this group of players and go from there personally.
Also, just a quick question. I think you mentioned, Steve, in our WhatsApp group earlier. I don't want to put a downer on it or be negative in any way, shape or form, but I think you made a good point on our group chat. How many managers have gone back to a team second time around and have done as well or better? You know, you can name any teams, whether it be Mourinho at Chelsea or... Yeah, there's not many, have they, that actually come back and kept that legacy going or done better, or usually come back and not quite as good as they were last time. It doesn't get quite worked out. I really hope that Neil Harris breaks the mould in this one, you know. But yeah, there is no guarantees, but we're hoping that he'll pull some miracles for us. And
the only thing I think with what you just said there, Joe, as well, is that a lot of managers that do that are, you know, quite seasoned. They've been around a long time. Your Roy Hodgson's, your Jose Mourinho's. Neil Harris is still a fairly young manager. You know, he's still a fairly young guy. He's probably still adapted his trade. You know, getting the job with us to start with was a massive job for him. Mm. He's bounced around a little bit. I honestly do believe he's learnt a hell of a lot. He's been in some bad situations. He's been in some good situations. And he's bounced around the leagues. I think if he does stay away from the 4-4-2 and shows us he has adapted, we don't know what type of coach Neil Harris is going to be, because he is still a young coach. He could be the Millwall manager for the next couple of years. He could keep us up. You know, I think it's really out on Harris at the moment. I don't think anything is set in stone because he is such a young coach and still learning the job. So I'm quite excited to see some change. I think Harris could be doing that, but as you said earlier, if Harris goes 4-4-2, that's where we're at, aren't we? And he may not have, or as he going 4-4-2 just because of the situation. I don't think we could judge Harris on these 13 games as such, but the 18-month contract does give a little bit of an indication of where we might go.
Absolutely.
I think it's, again, we're going back to the short term, aren't we? We don't need to think long term at the moment. You know, short term, we need to stay up. We need to get a few wins this season to keep us safe, and whatever happens in the future. If he does go 4-4-2, what I would say is that these players, albeit it's only been a few months under Joe Edwards' coaching, I'm sure a lot of these players have learnt a lot under Joe Edwards. They've probably picked up some good stuff. You know, they play some good football at times. We've seen it for ourselves. If Neil Harris wants to become a little bit more rigid and a little bit more direct and everything else, you're never going to make a good player a bad player, are you? You know, if there's a pass or if there's an opportunity to play a ball through the lines, they're going to do it. They're not going to go long just for the sake of going long, are they? So maybe, you know, the way that Joe Edwards got them playing with a little bit of more grit and fire and passion from Neil Harris is probably all we need in order for us to convert some of these losses to draws or wins, you know? So, we'll agree. See.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, just something that I think I'm going to mention this and you're going to love it. And we'll see what kind of reaction. You were at Plymouth away.
Yes, I was.
Well, it's probably probably the longest running standing joke with you on the channel about Plymouth away. You were at Plymouth away.
At least we've managed to have a fucking joke this season, or something, and not just unfriendly.
We were at Sheffield Wednesday away, Watford away, which was 2-2, which we were unlucky not to win. Do you think the fact that we had the new manager bounce for one game under Joe Edwards and then it all kind of went wrong. Neil Harris has always been a new manager bounce type of character. He did it at Gillingham when he first went in. He did it at Cambridge when he first went in. I know
he did that at Cardiff things, as well before, didn't he?
Yeah. I know things might have dropped off and people will say about the style of football, and I get that, and I really do. But do you think perhaps that, I know we were talking about this earlier, but do you think the new manager bounce going into an away game where we're not expected to get a lot? We're both going. I think, Joe, you said you were as well. Do you think do you think that the club have probably thought about that, that Harris does have this knack of coming in and getting a result early doors, and that's why it's now?
Yeah, that's why I've lumped 20 quid on Jake Cooper anytime they'll score a mill to win 1-0, mate. So,
Jake Cooper, like, header, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jake Cooper header, that was it. No, yeah, he's got a good track record. He goes in place and gets results immediately, as we said at Cambridge. He has only been there for a short amount of time. Their fans are absolutely livid, by the way. I don't know if anyone's been reading what Cambridge.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. They're fuming.
They're really upset. But yeah, I think it shows that he can go in, he can get results. He is a firefighter appointment at this point in time. There is no denying that. So I think they've done it with that in mind. Obviously, if they brought in someone in a similar vein to Edwards, it's going to take time to implement that style. We don't have time. Harris is going to strip it back to quite basics. We're assuming none of us have really seen too much of what he's played in these last few clubs. We know he's going to be stripped fairly back to basic. Might cover for some of the limitations of the team in other areas.
It's interesting you say that, Dan. Sorry to jump in, but that's what Edwards did that first game at Sheffield Wednesday away. He went 4-4-2. He went back to basics. And we played good football and we won the game resoundingly. And then he went away from it. Now, Harris, like you just said, is probably going to do something similar. If it does need the same result, is that the route we go down? Is that we go, this is obviously how the team can progress playing this way. Do we match that for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Danny Chappell, how many points do we honestly think we'll need to stay out? We will come back to that point. So that's something that we'll discuss a little bit later on. Sorry, Dan, go on.
I've lost my train of thought now.
Talking about Edwards playing, Edwards started with the 4-4-2 and then changed.
Listen, at this point in time where we are, I know most of us were complaining about how shit Rowett's football was. At this point in time, for the rest of the season, it doesn't matter too much. We just need to focus on getting points.
Doesn't matter how, does it? We need to stay up.
If we have 20% possession and win 1-0 for every game of the season, for the rest of the season,
win ugly.
Fantastic, that'll do me. We'll probably be in the playoffs if we do that.
I'm clipping that. I'm absolutely clipping that.
Well, if we could hold on to 1-0 leads, like we said earlier, we would probably be in the shop in the playoffs. Mm. I said we said it last on Saturday as well. We're first in the division. It's 24 points from winning positions. We've shown we can produce the formula to win a game. We just can't see it out. The appointment of Harris is going to be, it will hopefully galvanise that and stop that from happening. If you could merge Harris and Edwards, you'd probably have the perfect coach.
Mm. What's interesting, sorry to interrupt you, Steve, what's also interesting is that Neil Harris as a player, as a manager, always believes in hard work, having fit players. Yeah. He did it when he was younger as a player, when he had the likes of Stephen Reid, Tim Cahill, Paul Ifill, whatever. These players were good. Yes, technically weren't bad players, but it's all about effort, it's about desire, work rate, being fitter than your opposition. When he was a manager, he got his players doing that the same thing.
We were fit under Harris.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Really, we were fit for some reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when Rowett took over, I noticed there's a real decline in our fitness levels. We never ever questioned our players' fitness levels until Rowett took over. When Joe Edwards took over, I think he's helped it a little bit. We've all seen a bit of improvement, but it isn't up to the levels of when Neil Harris is in charge. I think Joe, being Joe, is talking about more about the technical part of it and how we're playing the football. One of the things that Neil Harris will do is get that fitness level back up again. I think another reason why we keep going ahead in games and giving away, you know, sloppy goals at the end and making mistakes, whatever. I think a lot of that is down to fitness, whether that be fatigue. You know, fatigue, exactly that. And I think that's something that he'll probably work on. Again, nothing's going to change over the next couple of days, but over the next couple of weeks, I think he will really push hard on fitness levels and getting players up to the level they're willing to be at. And with this talented group of players we've got, add a little bit of fitness in that as well. It's quite frightening how we can be under Harris, you know?
Absolutely. And we will come back to the how many points and whatnot. It's something I wanted to say. But this comment here from just what I'm going to put on this from Mike. Full house next home. And he's commented again to say home game now. I think that's one of the things that bringing Neil Harris has done. There'll be people, whether they like it or not, whether they admit it or not, that will be buying a ticket for Watford at home because Neil Harris is Millwall manager. There's no two ways about it. I don't care what anyone says. People can slag him off and be negative. It's two steps back or whatever, which there are valid. You can validate those points. There'll be people going to the game now against Watford because Neil Harris is Millwall manager and they want to see just what changes there might be made. And again, a masterstroke. We talk about... coincidentally, we've got to play Watford and Leicester at home. Now, both Watford and Leicester were part of that infamous cup run where we made it to Spurs in the quarterfinal. We beat both of them at home and we did, you know, okay, Leicester, we were down to 10 men and they had more chances than us. But Harris found a way of winning big games. He found a way of, when the better teams come to town, unsettling them, you know. Teams hated playing us under Neil, you know, the Leeds, the Norwiches, the QPRs. They didn't like it. So I just think it's a very interesting time for Harris to be brought in, because I feel like some of the games we've got coming up at home are certainly winnable and he's got that experience behind him. So I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Also, to that point, again, yeah, the fans can relate to Neil Harris. I think Jay mentioned it earlier, you know, first and foremost, he's a Millwall fan. You can see that quite clearly. And it's just the small things he does on the sidelines. I never forget that time when Jake Cooper scored the equaliser against Everton. And I think there was a problem there. And he's asking them to turn the camera off. I keep showing the replay.
It was the handball, wasn't it? It was the handball. Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Him screaming up at the box, telling him, what are you doing? Turn it off. Just that rawness of Neil, you know, when he's just so, like, you know, one of our own in that aspect. And I think he will bring a lot of emotions and passion back into that. And if we do get some full houses, which I'm hoping we will do over the next you know, few games, especially at home, we can make that den a fortress again. It hasn't been a fortress since Neil Harris left, let's be honest. And if we're going to pick up any wins, especially at home, we need that place to be rocking and rolling. I reckon we can do that under Neil.
We went on some major runs under Neil Harris at home. I think we had like 16 games unbeaten at home. But we was a real... I think that's where the fortress meant to come from, under Neil Harris. We were such a force at home. The den was just always
rocking. Away from home we struggled, didn't we, Jay?
It was away from home we struggled. And I think we've been a lot better away from home. I think even under Edwards, we haven't even been that bad away from home. We put some good performances away at Leicester, Watford,
Coventry, half hour,
and so on. So I think away from home, the players don't feel as much pressure and they could play a little bit more freely. It's at home the troubles have come. But with someone like Harris on the sideline, one of us, I think it will just galvanise the squad for the full 90 minutes. And we will pick up some points at home under the Harris regime now. Guaranteed, just based off of pure fight and will alone. I really do.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And again, you know, we spoke earlier on this show. It seems like we've been on it for a while. We have been on it for a while. Best part of, is it 2 hours now? But
hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah. So again, mixed emotions this morning. Yeah, when you're hearing about the news, you're thinking, what the hell are we doing? Like, why are we going backwards? You know, when we should be looking at evolving and growing as a club. But the more I keep thinking about it, the more we talk about it on this show tonight, the more I'm thinking, what a masterclass from Millwall, you know, to bring in someone like Neil Harris, who's going to galvanise our team, get the fans on board, get that den pumping again, you know, against Watford next week. And let's be honest, if you're a Watford fan at the moment, you'd be shitting yourself thinking, fuck, yeah, here we go. You know, typical, you know.
You're absolutely right, Jack. The needle doesn't move for many fans, and I can understand why, but there is only 13 games left. You can't get someone, give them, they're going to need a month to get install their policies, install their regime, you know, meet the players, find out his best formation. We haven't got that time. Now, whilst people may not like Neil Harris's football or like the hire, you have to like the direction the club have gone to install that we need the fight right now from the get-go, the second 100%. It's announced. And Neil Harris is the only person out there who can install that. There is no one else.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
I think that's the big thing. Mike's just put here, I never thought I'd hear a masterclass from Moore in the same sentence.
I can't believe that. The words came out of my mouth. I was thinking, what the fuck did I just say just then?
I do think that you do have to take it with a pinch of salt, because we are still in a dire situation with our players. You don't know how they're going to react. You don't know how the Southampton game's going to go. And it's not like Neil Harris doesn't have a magic wand. Let's be honest. He's not going to be able to come in and go, right, here we go, lads. We're going to sort it all out and bang, we're going to win every game. What I would say on the fact that you talk about the whole masterstroke is there's people like us that have gone to home game after home game after home game, and we just don't win. We just don't win games of football, and you leave the ground. I don't know about you guys. I walk back to my car, go back to my dad, and you're saying, oh, you know, we could have done this, we could have done that. And then the next week it's the same, and the next week it's the same. It's the same thing week after week, and it's so frustrating. And all I would say, and, you know, it might not work, and I'm not stupid enough to just think, oh, it's Neil Harris, he's God, he's magic, he's going to do this. But at least we will be coming out of games thinking, I don't think we could have done much more today, or the effort. You won't be questioning the effort, or you won't be thinking players have not tried. They will try. If they're beaten, they're beaten, and we have to accept that. Yeah, but they will try.
Sorry to jump in, but I've said it last week on Saturday. I said it with Dan. Is that I've been in the stands when we've been pumped 5-0. We've clapped the players off the pitch because of the performances that have been there. It's not the losing. We could take at Millwall. We're not a massive club. We know we're not a Barcelona. We lose a lot of football games at Millwall, but we've always been very proud of how we play football. And it's how we're losing these football games. Mm. We lost some games under Harris, but it was never for the want of trying. All them players and the management knew what it took to win games of football at Millwall. And it was always forgiven for losing. We have always been a club that, as long as you give 110%, we'll accept the outcomes. Yeah. Sometimes we won't, but we'll accept it as long as you play for that shirt, because playing for the shirt means more than it does at other clubs. And other managers just don't quite get that. And let's make it right. Sheffield Wednesday didn't beat us. If they just didn't beat us, we gave them games. We gave them the goals that they scored, and we fell on our own sword. They didn't push us on it. And Neil Harris will turn that around. And if we get beat, you will have to come and beat us at the Den. Because we won't give it to you under New Harris.
Play for that shirt, play for the badge. You hear every club talk about this, but I don't think it matters to your point, Joe. I don't think it matters as much as it really does when Millwall say it. Yeah, and this stems from our generation, from earlier generations. You know, it's always been one of our biggest points is that, you know, when you play for Millwall, you play for the badge. Yeah. And like I said, I haven't heard Rowett or Joe Edwards mentioned that line about playing for the badge. The only person I've heard say that in recent times is Neil Harris. And it's so refreshing to hear him say it today, because that's what's missing. I think we do need that passion back.
We do have live from Tenerife, 8 pints deep, sunburnt, Ben Green, Neil Harris, Champions League Lions, 2026, turn it in first.
Did he say that about Joe Edwards?
And then he changed it to Adam Barrett in the week.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. just out of interest, I did say to him that I was going to out him and say, if the guys in the comments want to see an 8 pints deep, sunburnt to hell, Ben in Tenerife, join us live for 5 minutes. If you just comment yes.
It'll be redder than Dan, won't he?
Oh, Ben. We're talking with Southampton 7-0 is 151. Jesus. Less of that.
Southampton,
the under-18s are 1-1 at the moment, for anybody that's interested. They're still going. I said this earlier. I like to think I'm not naive, and I still think we're going to go to Southampton. It's going to be really tough.
We're obviously fucking naive, mate.
We could go 1-0 up, 2-0 up, but still absolutely get battered. But the big thing, and the thing that gives me hope, is the fact that you boys have been talking about it, we've all been talking about it, that there's one man that can walk into the club from day one and get it. Yeah. And that's Neil Harris. And he's done it before. So I think that's, it's important. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, what style we might play and who might play, who might be captain. The question come up earlier about the points that we might need. I am just in the process of bringing up the championship table. So I believe apart from two teams, who have played 32, everyone else is on 33, but the two that haven't, they're not anything really to do with us.
Affects us.
And Birmingham, perhaps, they're 5 points ahead of us. But so as it stands, we're 33 points from 33 games, 13 games to go, point gap between us and QPR. Realistically, I'll go round the table. Dan, we'll start with you. How many points do you think we need to be safe this year? So where do we need to get to?
48, I'll say.
So that's 15 points. Joe, any other?
I'm going for 4 wins, 2 draws, which will put us on 47 points. And I think that's very, very achievable, very, very realistic, especially under someone like Harris, who, like I said, he will roll the dice. There will be some games we'll lose, but I guarantee you he'll definitely win a few as well.
And Jay?
I'm going to go with 45 points, but a minimum of 4 wins in that.
And again, all three of you, Jay, we'll go back to you first, and we'll go back the way in reverse. Does 45 points keep us up?
Yeah, I think it does. I think the only real threat are the two below us and the two above us. They've all got to play each other. Looking at the fixtures that are coming out, they've all got similar routes to safety as us. I think 45 for me would be enough. That's 12 points from where we are.
Yeah, I can see like Plymouth dropping straight into that.
Yeah,
they're in a run of bad form. Oh, they're managed struggling. Down the season. And they've obviously got a small squad as well. And we know how detrimental it could be to a team when you've got a small squad and you have a few injuries. It really sort of affects. I can see them slipping into it. I think Sheffield Wednesday, for all their recent resurgence to get a win over us the other week, I think they're still going to be in there. QPR, possibly they could be in there. Rotherham, yes, fantastic fighting spirit against Southampton, but they're shit. They're going down. So I think there's definitely 3 or 4 teams that are going to be struggling at the bottom there.
That's more like it, Chris. That's more like it. Millwall to win 7-0 on Saturday. There we go.
There you go. It's more positive. But yeah, Millwall definitely going to get a couple of wins, a few wins under the belt. And I think we'll be all right, definitely.
Absolutely. And Dan, just before I come to you, Mickey's in the chat. He's hounding now. Eddie, please press the like button. Mickey, come and join us. Join us for the last few bits of the show. Lots of other guys coming in with their points. Dan, so we've had 45, 47. Realistically, what number do you think keeps whoever it is that finishes full from bottom? What number do you think it is?
I said 48, and I think I've just done the maths. I think we're going to get 49. So I think it's going to be very, very close.
Take that.
Positive Dan, like that.
I know.
I would say from this point on, realistically, for what it's worth, if we get anywhere near 15 points from now until the end of the season, by hook or by crook, however you do it, 4 wins, 3 draws, whatever, I think that might just be enough. Because I think the team, there's not only, I think it might have been you, Jay, that said the teams above us, there are some teams that are above us that are in bad states just like us as well. So if this new manager balance does work, you will you might see it. Plymouth, as I said earlier, Stoke. I don't think Swansea are out of it, and traveling to Swansea on the last day of the season could be one hell of an away day. Plymouth at home the week before, the last home game as well. So
looking at them games at the start of April, the Huddersfield and Rotherham away in the space of 5 days.
Yeah, we've all played all winnable games.
All winnable games as well, you know.
We've got, you know, Birmingham are 5 points above us, looking at the table here, and then teams below them that we've still got to play Birmingham, we've still got to play Blackburn, still got to play Plymouth, still got to play Swansea, still got to play Huddersfield. The teams we are trying to catch, we still have to play. And this is where the Neil Harris, the speech, the effect, the man who's tasked with this, if he can't do it, I don't think there's many out there that could. I'm not saying that the appointment is the best appointment in the world before the comments have absolutely ruined me. But if Harris can't get us up for playing Birmingham at home, saying, right, come on, lads, 5 points behind them, win this one. We're only 2 points behind them. It's another team we're dragging into it. That's why Neil Harris is here. That's why he's here, personally.
That's the sole reason he's here. Jose Mourinho could be out there, and you would still want Neil Harris to be the one to come into this club, because it is all about playing for this shirt, fight and pride for these last 13 games. It's got nothing to do with being a great manager, a tactician, and having this great style of football. This is a dogfight. There is no one better out there.
Absolutely. Completely agree.
Sorry, I'm really sorry, but Mickey's just look. Jay looks a bit like me, but not as pretty. Jay, don't have that.
There's a bit more on top.
It's because Jay's working nights, you see. That's why he looks more like Mickey.
I'm refreshed at the moment. Yeah, catch me in 4 hours, and I'll be dead as a donut. Yeah.
Guys, we're sort of coming towards the end. You know, we did this, as I said earlier, I'd said to, hold on, Jay is like Miss World compared to you, Mickey. There we go, you've got the support of the fans.
I've got some backing.
Exactly. Guys, can I just say, right, for those that are going to watch me all the way to Southampton, either you watch it on a dodgy stream, could you imagine, right, the first minute Harris walks out, we're all singing Super Neil Harris. 10 minutes in, we go 1-0 up. Could you imagine the hairs on the back of your fucking neck, what that would do to our supporters, the players, the club, everything about it? The question is, we need to hang on to that. But I can see us doing that. It wouldn't surprise me. We go 1-0 up, take it to them. We're like, fucking hell, here we go. You know, we're going to win this one, you know? And it wouldn't surprise me at all.
One thing I will say as well is I saw someone on Twitter. I'm not gonna name and shame anyone, but I saw someone on Twitter saying Harris has been doing them like free fist pumps that like Klopp does when he wins a game at Cambridge. I saw someone say on Twitter.
I saw him do that actually at Cambridge. Yeah,
someone said earlier, I'd love to see him do this down Millwall, and someone was like, no, if he does that, someone should run on the pitch and chin him. He's already bringing back he's getting the original Millwall spirit back to us. That's what he likes to hear.
Even in times of desperation, they still can't, you know, let it go, can they? You know,
listen, they're calling for unity. That is uniting the fan base.
Absolutely.
There's not another manager who would do that. There really isn't. And no. Like I said, this is not about formations, style of play, who's going to play. Or what? One thing we do know is that team from now till the end of the season will give 150%, and the fans will be 150% on side. And that is the unity that the club spoke about. That's the unity that's needed, and it will see us through to the end of the season. No one else could do it.
Well, I was just about to say, can we have some final words of wisdom and positivity from everyone? Jay has already started us off. Joe, can I have your final thoughts, please?
You know what? I think I kind of burnt myself out a little bit, the positivity of this show. So I'm sort of scraping the barrel here a little bit. But no, you know, like I said to you before, you know, we've got a chance here, guys. Yeah, you know, we've got an opportunity. It's been presented to us. Whether we agree or we don't agree with it, as we all discussed, I think Neil Harris is the best man to get us out of the situation we're at the moment. The players are either going to run with him or they're not going to run with him. If they don't run with him, guess what? They ain't going to play much for the remainder of the season. So we're going to have players first and foremost that are going to play for the badge, is what Neil Harris wants and what he said. That's a positive straight away in my eyes, yeah? He's going to go a bit direct. Yes, the football isn't going to be sexy, as we like to sort of see it, but what we are going to get is passion. We're going to play on the front foot. We're going to take it to teams. We're going to be nasty. We're going to be aggressive. And ultimately, we're going to go there to beat these teams and win games, which is what we need. We only need four or five wins. We said that already. Four wins or a few draws. Eight mission impossible. We can do it, but we need to play our part. The fans got to get behind the team, have to get behind Harris and make the Den, as we discussed earlier, a fortress. If we can do that, then I'm sure the players will deliver for us on the pitch.
Absolutely. Great. Dan, some final words of wisdom, positivity, whatever you like.
Yeah,
you should let Dan go middle. He could be in the shit sandwich, couldn't he?
Yeah, that would be much better, to be honest, mate. No, listen, just kind of echo what the other two have said. We know we're going to get a Millwall team that's going to run for a brick wall for the rest of the season, and that's what we want. That's what we need where we are right now. So let's get behind the boys. I'm looking forward to getting down to Southampton and seeing that first super nil on Saturday.
Can we get a fist bump off you, Dan? Can we get a few of these?
Absolutely not, mate.
Mike, I will answer you first.
So Harris back today, it's Mickey back on Friday. I believe he is back ready to go for the Southampton game. For me, we don't know if the appointment is going to be successful. We don't know if it's going to be a masterstroke. We don't really know too much, but what we do know is that Neil Harris will have these players fighting for the badge. Neil Harris was a hero of mine. I'm sure he's a hero of a lot of people similar age to me growing up. And is returning to try and save the club. I'm going to finish up. Firstly, thank you for everyone that's tuned in. The numbers that have been on this have been phenomenal for us. Thank you all so much. If you can like and subscribe, we've got through all the comments. We do try and get them all up on the stage, up on the screen, sorry. So thank you very much. Jay, Joe and Dan, thank you very much for joining me.
Pleasure.
We are back on Friday. We've got Chat with Chaps coming out, obviously, after the Southampton game. There's loads of stuff going up on across all the socials. So please like, subscribe, follow us, all of that good stuff. I'm going to leave you all with a video that I took myself on the 18th of February, 2017. I'm pretty sure most of you will probably know what that date was and what happened. But if you don't, it was the day that Millwall beat the champions of England 1-0 at the Den. And towards the end of the game, this is how it went. And as Dan said earlier, that first super Neil Harris on Saturday, we'll be there in Southampton. We will see you on Friday night. And let's back those boys. Go on, you Lions.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.